Welcome to the Lagan Valley Vineyard podcast. We are a community passionate about seeing Lagan Valley filled with the presence and the teachings of Jesus. If you would like to connect with us or if we can help you in any way, please visit our website, laganvalleyvineyard.com.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Amy.
We have spent a week with 400 teenagers. You're going to have to do better than that. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Great job. If we haven't met before, my name is Amy. This is Jamie.
Hello.
And it is our greatest joy, an immense privilege to get to be the generation coordinators here at Lagan Valley Vineyard, which really just means that we get to spend a lot of our time with our kids and our young people, telling them about Jesus and journeying Jesus alongside of them. And this last week, we have spent down in Kildare at Move with 97 of our teenagers.
It was amazing.
That's very cool. Very, very cool. If you don't know what Move is, very, very quickly, Move is a five-day camp where we go big on fun, we go big on spirit, and a lot of crazy and wild things happen. Quick mentionables, our boys won the plate in the football.
Yes.
And our girls, my team of girls, there were 9 of us, and we won 3 rounds of tug of war against a team of guys and leaders.
Yes.
We were very proud and have the carpet burns to prove it. But what we want to do this morning is allow some space for our young people to share with you some of their stories. We have stories to celebrate. We have victory stories. But what we have done, Jamie and I, the last few days, has sat in a bit of a space, a really reflective space, where actually we've noticed a bit of a shift. And we were able to bring so many young people from Alpha with us, as Sarah's going to tell you all about in just a second. But for our kids that call this place home and that come here and come to youth every week, we are no longer introducing people to Jesus. We still do it, but most of them don't need to be introduced to Jesus anymore. Where we are is we have young people that are doing heavy work with the Spirit and are handing over and surrendering some heavy things for the sake of stepping into freedom and interceding for a move of God in this land. And if you've been around here at all, you'll know that we like to share stories of things that are going on. You will know that on our youth spaces on Sunday evenings, we have young people that won't leave because the Spirit is there and they're on their faces on the floor for hours. We have things happening at noon. There are regional things happening. There is a spirit outpouring going on in this nation. And I don't think it's a coincidence that our young people are doing some heavy work with Jesus. And the more that they lean in, the more of the Spirit we're starting to see. And it has been an absolute privilege of ours this week to journey some of those things with our young people. And the only words genuinely that we have is that our young people leant in with some hard things. They were honest, they were brave, and it was holy. There was some holy, holy things going on in Move this week. We had young people sit down at the mercy seat before their Everest and hand over and wrestle through some hard things with Jesus. They were wrestling addictions. They were wrestling past traumas. They were wrestling fear, doubt, unbelief, you name it. We had it this week, and we are so incredibly proud of how they are leaning in and are handing over in the most vulnerable places of themselves to welcome Jesus in and see what he does with that. And it is happening and it is stirring and things are moving in this space because of it. There's a quote from a well-known theologian that puts it in much more elegant words than I can. He says, "If God's people hunger deeply enough, God will hear and he will send revival. God requires more than casual prayers for revival. He wants his people to hunger and to thirst for his mighty working. To seek God's face is far more than occasionally mentioning revival in our prayer. It involves repeated and prolonged prayer. It requires holy determination in prayer, examining ourselves to see if anything in our lives is hindering God. Prayer is the burden of revival. Repentance is the breakthrough of revival. Evangelism is the blessing of revival, and holiness is the bounty of revival." And we've seen all of that in every flavor and color this week. And so what we're going to do is create some space for some of our kids to share with you their stories, and their stories of victory, and their stories we're celebrating.
Here's your friends. I'm going to invite Sarah to come. She's going to tell us some stories from the group that we brought from Alpha.
Can you hear me now? You didn't tell me you'd turn it off. Trying to make me look like an idiot up here. Okay. So, Move. We're all still a bit glassy-eyed, not quite recovered. But there's something really interesting that you need to understand. So, It's my privilege all year to step into high schools out there with great volunteers from this church and across the town and sit at tables with young people and give them the gospel. And a lot of these kids, so we took 29 Alpha kids due to your generosity in sponsoring them to Alpha, to move. And the majority of those 29 are not church kids. Now, our young people have stood up here and told you their stories, which are difficult and raw and real, but they are used to this environment. They come to church, they come to youth, and so this is all normal for them. And you hear them talk about people getting emotional and crying and people being prayed for over and over again. And you're like, yeah, we know what that is. But these kids who we bring from Alpha don't come to church. And so they see all this going on and they're like, what on earth have I come to? And like some of them will say to us after the first service, they're like, you guys really like to sing a lot of songs. And not only do you sing a lot of songs, but you sing the same lines over and over and over again. And we take these things for granted. So this whole environment is so alien to them. And I spend a lot of time at Move just being like, Jesus, tell me how to let them know it'll be okay. Like, we're not all completely insane. Because we just want them to encounter Jesus. So some of my friends from Alpha are here, and you need to watch out for them because they're going to be around here more. I'm going to just read you a few of their stories and try to hold it together. Okay, so my name is Ollie, a 16-year-old boy from Moira, originally from Lisburn, spending 5 years at Listener Garvey High School. And this year, during my non-GCSE RE, an amazing group of loving people came into our class to lead an Alpha course. I thoroughly enjoyed the course and got to explore my feelings and emotions a bit more and felt a connection with God for the first time. When we were offered a place at Move, I knew I had to go not only for the fun and adventures that awaited me, but to ask questions and continue to try and understand. After 4 amazing nights spent with my closest friends, I got to connect with God. Suddenly, all my problems and stress disappeared, almost like being held underwater and being able to breathe again. It was a very, very emotional week as I found my heart and bubbly personality come back again. On Wednesday night, there was an opportunity to light a candle to connect with God. I took that step out of myself to reach out to God, thinking about the stresses and grief of life up to this point. But I was no longer alone as God became close to me. Leslie and Gus invited God into my life. I'm forever grateful to all the leaders, and in particular, Gus. All I can say to the members of Lagan Valley Vineyard, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, and God bless each and every one of you. I have 2 more, sorry guys. Okay, second one. As well as Listener Garvey, we also go into Fort Hill. This is a young man from Fort Hill. This all started because one of my close mates told me about camp. I never really thought about Christianity as something that I would believe or be interested in. I don't do any of the religious studies work, to be honest. I just sit at the back of class waiting for the lesson to be over. God just never really stood out to me. I believed that he could potentially exist, but I wasn't sure. My family aren't religious. We never went to church together or did anything of that sort, only occasionally school plays. My father had a rough time with religious people and told me all kinds of stories, which made me think of Christ as a bad thing all of my life, until this camp. The whole week was filled with all kinds of emotions. God slowly crept his way into me, and all it took was one candle to be lit. The nights before that, I had prayed to God to ask him to give me a sign to see if I was going to give him my life or not. After I lit that candle, I was asked why I did it, and I replied with, "I think I believe." I couldn't stop the tears rolling down my face. I was being prayed for the first time. I couldn't control the tears. My heart was pounding. I felt the hands of everyone who's been surrounding me, and I just couldn't stop myself. I slowly started to calm down, and I felt God took all my stress and pain away. I knew God was there. He answered my prayers. That was the sign that he gave me. I never thought that God would take me in. He took me in with open arms and love. I came home sharing with everyone that I believed in God. And they were so happy for me, so supportive of my choice, and this is only the first step. I don't know what God has planned for me, but I know 100% that he's planned a miracle. Thank you for those who prayed and for those who have supported me all the way through. Right, and this is the last one. This one is pretty special to me because there's a backstory that I can't really share with you, but yeah. This is someone who did know Jesus before they came, but in a very different context. So before Move started, I was a nervous wreck. I remember asking myself if I packed too much or too little, and to my surprise, when I entered LVV Church, everyone had suitcases that were two times bigger than mine, so it was going to be okay. The bus ride to the school, I was praying to God that I'd enjoy my time there or at least make one or two friends. I thought to myself, I'm either going to regret coming here or be wishing that it would never end. And I wished it would never end. My experience at Move can be described in three words. It was phenomenal. On the first day, I was already experiencing new friendships, exciting activities, and of course, the sunny, warm weather. What a surprise. I thought to myself, this is good crack. I mean, jumping around, singing songs, and practically screaming at the top of your lungs, it was amazing. And just knowing that everyone was there to pursue the same thing, to pursue God, the Holy Spirit, his love, and his rest, I felt comfortable. I felt joyful and not that kind of happiness like when your mum buys you a new iPhone or when your friend compliments your outfit. No, I felt hopeful with happiness. I hoped to enjoy this camp. I hoped for new friendships. I hoped for a good time, and God heard me. He made all of those things happen, and I felt grateful and I felt loved. Compared to all the experiences I had with God in the past, well, Move is that one experience that just hit me like a ray of sunlight. All these times that I had forgotten him, I lost my connection with him. Yes, I did still sometimes pray and call out to him, but that is only when I was in need of something. I only called to him when I wanted something. And that's where I realized all of my mistakes. The burdens that I've been carrying, all the weight on my shoulders, was not because it was too much. It was because I didn't allow him to walk with me through that darkness. I did not take his hand nor accept his call for attention. I had taken him for granted. Move made me reflect, feel, and learn God all over again. It brought enjoyment and it brought tears. Because of Mood, I made a reconnection with God, one that I will never neglect again, and one that I will always try to maintain. Initially, Move was just an activity. However, I realized over time that it is a life-changing experience. And we could seriously have taken the whole morning telling you story after story after story. And what you need to know is that God is on the move and that things are happening in these young people, and they're on a spectrum for like brand new first steps to full in face on the floor, send revival. And we need all of you. We bring them to youth, we bring them to camp, but actually you're their family too. And so we all have a responsibility. Whether you rock up to help at youth or not is one thing, but you can all pray. You can all look out for them when they come here. Tell them that they're loved, tell them that they're worth it, and tell them that we are championing them and cheering them on. So just before Chris comes up, I've got one friend left to invite up here. So because we bring so many young people, we need to bring in reinforcements. And these guys who come to move don't know what they're getting into. They have never met the young people before. They don't even know their names, and they agree to show up. And it's quite an experience. So Gwen's just going to share her experience of showing up at something completely unknown, and then Chris will be up here to wrap us up.
I've got about 60 seconds apparently, but I'll try and be quick. A few weeks ago I was sitting slap bang down in the middle there as Chris was talking about move, and I nudged Colin and I said, you working that week? And he went, well, I'm working on the Friday, but like if I need be, I could take it off. I said, that's good, because I'm going. So I come up here and I said, do you need extra help? You see? And they said, why are you guys going to come? And is Colin coming? And I thought, yeah, he'll come too. Okay. So anyway, that was all right. We got ourselves signed up. And then suddenly you go home and you think to yourself, what have I let myself in for? And I thought, at a big birthday there, I became a granny in a few weeks, and I thought, I'm having a midlife crisis. So I am definitely, definitely having a midlife crisis. But I would just like to tell you guys, it has been a privilege and an honour to spend 5 days with all those young people that we took with us. And as Sarah says, Colin and I hadn't a notion who anybody was. I kept saying, are they one of ours? You know that wee girl with the long blonde hair? She one of ours? And I still don't know everybody's names. But honestly, we went through Psalm 23 this week, and it challenged our young people, never mind challenging us. And Colin and I have come home. He's actually broke Colin, because Colin started to cry. So we did, and it's not many times in my lifetime when I've known Colin that he ended up in tears. And I'm not looking at him, because I'll probably cry myself, and I promised I wouldn't. But the teaching that we got this week, and the teaching and the love and the friendship that we got from these guys was unbelievable. It really was. And I told them that, and I thanked them that on Friday evening. That really, they're the best bunch of youngsters out. But not only are they the best bunch of youngsters out, but LVV has the best bunch of youth leaders. And standing back and watching each and every one of them, being slap bang in the middle of it with them, and it just was, there's really no words other than breathtaking. From the first note on the keyboard, from the first beat of the drum on Monday evening, our guys were at the front and they were praising and they were worshipping. And I can tell you, I've been a Christian for I don't know how many years, but they have made me rethink life. So they have, because I haven't been on fire the way they have. And literally Colin and I have come home and our lives have been changed. And it's not only them guys. See, I have a little party t-shirt on. I was in a little party this morning. The kids that we have here, we need to cherish each and every one of them. And my favourite part of Little Party is whenever you say to them, you've done your wee prayer with them, you say, would anybody like to pray? And these wee dotes who can just about say two words are saying, I want to pray, I want to pray. And half the time I haven't a notion what they've said, but you just say, that's great, you know. But we need to cherish each and every one of them. They are our legacy. So they are. And as you get older in life, I'm one of the Avengers, apparently. That's what we were nicknamed, the older generation that was down there with them. But they are our legacy. We need these guys to change this world for us. And we need you to put your love and friendship and anything you've got into them. They're not scary, okay? Teenagers are not scary. Some people think, but they're not. They're fabulous. And I think my 60 seconds is maybe up, Chris, is it? I suppose I'm going to get down.
It's true. I was getting in trouble for calling them the older generation, so I nicknamed them the Avengers. So it's who we call when it gets a bit wild. Here's what I want to do. I've got a few minutes. I want to teach for, like, I guess, 8 minutes about what I sense the Lord is doing in our midst and how we pay attention to it and how we join in with it. And then we're going to sing one final song together. Young people, I'm going to need your help with this one at the end, but we'll park that. My name's Chris. I'm part of the team here at Lang Valley Vineyard. If you're a guest or a visitor, we love that you're with us. And really, I just want to name where we are at. I've been saying for a long time, what does it look like for us to recognize what God is doing in our midst and how do we join in with it? Not just enjoy it, but join in with it. And Jesus commands us to do all sorts of things when it comes to the kingdom. He tells us to preach it, to pray it, to demonstrate it. And the one that we don't talk about all that much is to perceive it. What does it mean to see what God is doing and to partner with it and to join in with it? Here's what I believe. Not all times are created equal. The Bible speaks about two different types of time. The first one is chronos time. It talks about the linear journey of time, minute by minute. And then it talks about a second kind of time in the Greek, kairos time, which refers to moments. Kairos time is certain times that require us to adjust our normal routine, to pay attention to what God is doing, to look carefully for those seasons, and to listen to his voice. Kairos times are God-specific moments for the church, for this time and this region, when the desires of God and what he longs to do in our midst require us to seek him more to unlock that blessing. All moments matter, but some moments are not the same. And in this hour, I believe God is beckoning us, inviting us, and urging us into an hour of seeking the Lord with more diligence, passion, and zeal than ever before. What God is pouring out and what he longs to pour out. Kairos times signifies good and proper time for action. And I believe that this action for us as a community is to seek God afresh, to take God up on his words, to draw near to me and I will draw near to you. There are dozens of examples in the Bible where it talks about seeking God and what happens from that. Blessings flow when we seek God. When we seek God, we receive strength. When we seek God, we get deliverance. When we seek God, we have blessing and we lack no good thing. Psalm 34, verse 10. When we seek Lord, we will find him. Deuteronomy 4, verse 29 says this, but if you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart. These passages provide us and understanding that when we seek God, blessing and benefit flows from that. It is associated with this idea of seeking him. The concept of seeking God is spoken about a lot by the biblical authors. Here's what it means: to search out, to pursue, to desire, to place a demand upon God, or to reference the Hebrew revival, to hold God account to who he is. It is a posture of seeking, an attitude of engaging. It isn't passive. It isn't God will do what he wants. It is I'm going to join him with what God is doing, and I'm going to posture myself to do that. Seeking God is an exterior response to an interior reality. It's when we become hungry for the things of God. Maybe you're asking the question, if God is everywhere, if God is omniscient and he's omnipresent, if he is in our midst right now, why do we need to seek God? Well, in the same way, there are jobs everywhere, but you still need to apply for one. The same reason why there's opportunities that may arise, but we need to seize them. The same reason why books are written, but you need to read them. The same reason why doors open, but you have to walk through them. The same reason why talent exists, but we have to develop it. The same reason dreams are dreamed, but you need to pursue them. The same reason that wisdom is shared, but you need to apply it. The same reason that your breakthrough is in our midst and in this space, but you need to engage and move towards it. Personal action and engagement goes hand in hand with seeking the benefit and the blessing of God Almighty. He is found by those who are seeking after him. Matthew 16 makes it clear who desires to follow him. That's his instruction to the disciples. And I think desire is almost like the missing ingredient to spiritual formation. You see, when we desire God, we will show up early and we will stay late. When we desire God, we will get involved and we'll serve in kids and we'll serve in youth and we'll serve wherever there is a need. When we desire God, we will give freely of our finances. When we desire God, we will lift our hands in the mountain and we will also lift our hands from the mountains in our way. Desire is not an emotion, it is a choice. Lord, we choose God over everything else that is competing for our attention, our resource, and our time. Pastor I know in the States said something to me a few months ago that has just rang so true. He said the most frustrating thing and the worst thing about being a pastor is wanting something for someone more than they want it themselves. See, desire has to be cultivated. It's not just a feeling, it has to be cultivated. And it's cultivated through our attention, through our devotion, and also through our embodiment of that. Desire isn't a feeling, but it is a discipline. To discipline your attention, your devotion, and your embodiment. And watch when you do that, how desire comes to the forefront of your heart and your mind. One of the things I love the most is Ian and Angie Toll have prayed for a move of God in this region for well over 20 years. They don't just pray. Angie Toll shows up in Alpha classrooms and sits with young people. And she talks about Jesus. Ian and Angie Toll were the first people to say, we'll come to move if you need extra leaders. They also were the first people that said, we're going to come up to the front and dance. They were also up there dancing and giving it stacks. But I love that because it's not just attention. It's not just an idea. It is embodying the desire of God as they move towards it. Here's what's important. When we seek the Lord, he is found. See, the natural tendency is to seek God when things are bad, not when they're good. When things are bad, we tend to lean all the more into God. But when they're good, we are like, we think we understand it. We think we've got a hold on it. And we think we can go through it. And if I'm being honest, it was easier to seek God when I gathered four people in a caravan out the front of church to try to do youth ministry than it was to bring 100 of them to a camp. It was easier to seek God when I wanted to get in for the first Alpha classroom in Laura Hill than what it is when we're now doing 25 or 30. It's easier to show up at the prayer gathering whenever something really hits the fan and isn't going well than what it is whenever we're celebrating and going after. Here's the reality when it comes to pursuit. Marriages die when the one that you're pursuing, you stop pursuing. Moves of God stop when we stop pursuing the very thing we began in the middle of it because we think we have a hold and a handle on it. We need to keep pursuing him and seeking him more than we ever have. Psalm 14, verse 2, the Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, who perceive, and who seek him. There are two reasons why we're to seek God. When we seek God, he is found. And the second reason is we seek him because he sought us. Whenever that bite was taken out of the apple, out of the tree, and shame entered the world, there's the first question that is uttered by God in the story and narrative of scriptures. It's echoed it's said in Genesis 3, verse 9, where are you? God is not unaware of their geographical location. He knows where they are. He's asking a question that he knows the answer to. Why is he doing that? To demonstrate a principle that before you even knew who he was seeking after you. We have a God who searches and seeks after us. And I don't have time right now to go into all the details of it, but the story of Hosea and Gomer was one of the reasons why we birthed our youth movement in the start called Search Party. It's now called LV Youth, where we wanted to search after God and also after the lost. And something happens in that story. Something happens when we seek after God. There's a pattern inside scriptures. When we seek God, we find him. And when we find God, or when God finds us, he makes covenant with us. And when God makes covenant with us, every time he makes covenant through the story of scripture, there's a command that follows after that, which is to go forth and multiply. We don't want to just enjoy what's happening right now. We believe God's doing something in our midst that requires us to seek him like we've never done before, so that we can see this multiply well beyond what we could ever dream or imagine. I have so much more that I would love to say, but here's what I want to say as we land, and we're going to respond in worship together. This week has been an absolutely phenomenal week, and we've seen God do some of the most incredible things. We had 13 first-time decisions to follow Jesus, 7 recommitments, and way more deep work with God as God called people into it. So but I also can't remember coming to the end of the week and feeling as heavy as I've felt. And I'm not trying to over-spiritualize this. I'm really not. but there's a very real reality that there's always more going on than what we realise in the spiritual realm. We had a young person on Thursday night approach one of our leaders after they shared a story, and he walked up, he's an Alpha student, he walked up and said, you guys have saved my life. Like, and that's, he looked him in the eye and told him, that is not, like, I don't know how much more real it gets. Whenever we came to ministry moments for young people, like, our leaders couldn't even get to those moments to pray because our young people were stepping in to pray for other young people. And I just can't imagine what the enemy hates more. And our response in this moment is to seek God. Young people, your response in this moment, you've had a mountaintop moment. It is now time to seek the face of God, to seek him with all that you have, so his benefits and blessings will follow you all the day of your life. Now is the time. We've heard of past moves of God. We've heard stories and we've heard rumors. What if we lived in the reality of it? And it's time for us to own what God is doing in this generation and to step out and to go for it. And so how are we going to seek him? We're going to worship together. And one of the things, if the worship band want to come up, one of the things I love about, we spent the whole week in Psalm 23, the Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I can remember my grandmother telling me it time after time after time. Spoiler alert, we're doing praise. Yeah. We're doing praise. All right. My grandmother's here. She's over here. She only shows up when I'm speaking. So, she taught me how to pray. Don't neglect the investment in generations. And Psalm 23, when David is talking about the Lord's my shepherd, he's not referencing his season right now. He's in the depths of despair. He's referencing his history with God. He's calling upon his history of God. See, to declare the future, we need to also have a history where we walk with him. And we always talk about David, the one who slayed Goliath, and we also talk about the one who killed lions and bears. But before all of that, David was a worshiper. David wasn't made in the battlefield. He was made in the worship room. He was made in the prayer space. When we worship, we embody our attention and our desire. And here's what you need to know, and we're going to land around this a little bit. I hate dancing. Like, I hate it. Like, I'm so awkward when it comes to it. I got married 3 years ago. The thing I feared the most was, like, the first dance. And, I hate it. And I have never danced more in my life in the last year because the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to get over yourself and you need to join in with what you're doing. And so I've never sweated more in my life than in sessions when it comes to worship. But when I watch young people dance, I see them embody something. I see them embody freedom. I see the opinion of others broken off them as they do that. When I see Ian and Angie Toll dance, I see someone who's free. And listen, I'm not going to ask you all to dance. We haven't got bottles of water or towels to mop up all the sweat. But we're going to worship now. And we're going to worship as a response to say, God, in this season, we see what you're doing. And we're not just going to rest on our laurels. We're not just going to step back and say, isn't it amazing what you've done? We want to perceive the kingdom breaking in our midst. And we want to join in with it. We want God to do something in us around desire that bubbles beyond just this moment. And so we're going to celebrate. And we're going to dance. And we're going to sing songs. And young people, you have to dance. I'm going to look like an idiot here because I've told them that you would. So we're going to worship. Would you stand? Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, young people, if you want to come forward, you can do that. Adults, if you want to come forward, you can do that. Whatever it looks like. Hold on. This is important. This is important. We read stories in the scriptures where people danced onto the Lord. And so even if you're not dancing, I want you to see and perceive what God is doing in a generation. Let's worship him together. Let's sing. Let's rejoice.